Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
I think I really was enunciating. Okay, Maysoon, you had so we're recording this on Monday, and you had an interesting cultural experience this morning.
I did.
Tell us about
it. So Monday or today, also Monday.
Not today.
Not today.
Monday when
Monday,
we're
October 14th.
We're back in time, listener.
is Indigenous Peoples Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to...
Did you know Berkeley was the first city to recognize that officially?
Oh, it doesn't surprise me.
In 1992.
Oh, I was wondering when I wonder.
Okay, don't quote me on that. It was maybe 91 or 92.
I was wondering when the name of this day shifted.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember. I feel like it happened in the time that I was living, that I've been living in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Like where it officially changed to Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so I went to Alcatraz this morning for this, what they call the Sunrise Gathering. And that was... The boat left at 5:15 in the morning.
Holy Christ.
And for those of you who know me, I'm not a morning person. And it was real scary because I wasn't sure if I'd actually get up and make it. And I did. Everything was fine. I made it to the island.
Did you go by yourself?
I did go by myself. What? I couldn't find anyone to go with me.
That's an early commitment.
It's pretty early.
On a holiday.
I know. Well, a lot of people I know are actually working today, too.
Sure enough.
So the people I thought would be interested were like, I have to work, buddy. I was like, oh, okay. Sorry. I don't.
But the city recognizes it.
Yeah.
And takes it on.
Yeah, yeah.
Does San Francisco officially recognize it as Indigenous Peoples Day?
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. And I don't know when that shift happened. But so the Sunrise Gathering on Indigenous Peoples Day today, and it's also actually celebrating the 50th anniversary of the occupation of Alcatraz.
Okay, so back in 1969, right?
Yes.
Indigenous protesters went to Alcatraz and occupied the island.
That's right.
For several months.
Led by, I mean, Richard Oakes is like the famous guy who led that protest, and then Lanata Warjack, who is still alive and lives in the Bay Area, who actually presented or spoke today at the Sunrise Gathering about that time, which is pretty awesome. She's also one of the leaders. But, you know, like there were a number of Oakes family members there that were performing, that were sort of doing some of the ritual or the dance, or which is kind of cool to see, like, that there's multiple generations still involved in that, which, yeah, sorry, I kind of took that somewhere else by mistake.
What? No, that's good.
So yeah.
Okay, so you get on the boat.
You get
it's
on the
six
boat.
It's 6 in the fucking morning.
It's 5 in the fucking morning.
London Breed's not there.
I did not see
is
London
she?
Breed.
Maybe she
I didn't
there.
See her. So you get on
so
the
you,
boat.
Wait. So you get on a boat at 6 a.m.
At 5 a.m.
5 a.m. Damn.
I'm like, what okay. are you not understanding
about? Holy God.
How fucking early this is.
Okay, go on.
And then you get off at Alcatraz and it's dark as hell. There was a full moon, which is kind
amazing.
Of an amazing pair.
How many people were there?
Maybe 1,000, maybe a couple of probably 1,000.
A lot.
I really have no idea, but
it
yes.
felt like a lot of people.
I was in a long line. There was one ferry that filled up and went, and then I got on the second ferry that filled up and went, and there were still ferries coming. It was a lot of tourists, actually. Tons of tourists, which I was sort of impressed by, because it's fucking early, and so you really have to want to go
like
and
they
learn
were probably
to some
here
degree.
For that.
I was impressed by that, actually, because I was expecting it to be... I didn't really think there'd be a lot of tourists there, and there were. So it's interesting to me, or it's interesting that it's open to everyone. I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
You get off the ferry, you walk all the way up. You know, you have to walk all the way up. Have you been to Alcatraz before, Kate?
Yes.
You walk all the way up to this big open area.
We can
area.
Revisit that experience on episode Escape from Alcatraz.
That's right. There's this large landing that I think is usually closed off to regular Alcatraz visitors. At least I don't remember seeing it, but I haven't been there a whole ton of times. And there's a huge bonfire and like lots of fresh wood. And then like a group of men that were kind of like monitoring the fire and like sweeping up ashes. And they had the audience or the people who got off the ferries kind of form a very large circle away from the fire. Like there were probably 30 feet between me and like where the fire was, and that space was sort of like a sacred space, I think, was kept for like dancers and singers and musicians. And it's just there's a series of performances, the presentations, different speakers. There was a group from, I think they're like the medics from Mauna Kea, which is in Hawaii, in the big island of Hawaii, So there are other indigenous people there to express. Basically, it was great to see that there were other, you know, indigenous communities coming to Alcatraz to support, you know, the occupation, that the 50-year anniversary, to celebrate that. And so there was this group from Hawaii that was there. There was representation of, like, the protests that are happening in Ecuador right now. Like, there were Aztec dancers were there. So there were, like, all these other, you know, indigenous groups there to support, which is kind of awesome. It was great.
And how long were you there?
I was there from about, let's see, like 5:45 to 8:30. So you do watch the sunrise.
Is there food?
No.
Oh.
I had a thermos of coffee and a banana.
Oh, nice.
Which is good.
You were allowed to bring a banana?
Oh, yeah. You cool. can bring food with you. There's yeah. just no food provided.
Yeah.
But it was great because it's like the moon was sort of setting behind where the main kind of speakers were. And there's this, like, sort of, you know, skeleton of a building. And then the sun was kind of rising as that was all happening. It was a very beautiful heart. It was very touching. It's very mm-hmm. emotional.
Yeah.
I kind of really appreciated there were these, I think they call them security, but basically people who are part of the community who kind of walk the inside of the circle to make sure that there's enough space for the dancers who are going to be performing. So they move, were moving people back, or they were like aggressively, they did an announcement early on that there was no, like, photos and video wasn't allowed, but uh-huh. then there were still ferries coming in. So people who were coming later maybe didn't hear that.
Yeah.
And so there, the security people were walking around, like, telling people no photos, no pictures. And they were, like, really assertive about it. And, like, yeah. one guy was about to, like, go into the audience and, like, have a conversation with, like, an individual specifically.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just like a no photos, whatever.
Yeah.
Which I was like, yes. Which I'm still, like, anti-phone, even though I know I have a phone. So it's always, like,
but
very
especially
rewarding.
In, like, situations where you're meant to be, like, present.
Yeah. You're meant to be present. And I think there's a lot of the song is they're like prayers, right? Yeah. And that's like a special, that's not to be photographed or documented.
Yeah. I had another question.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't there also some stuff going on at the San Francisco Arts Commission?
Oh, yeah, there is. We have a...
Tell me about it, Stud.
There's a lot of things going on this fall in celebration of the 50th anniversary of Alcatraz.
Of the occupation of Alcatraz. Yeah.
The occupation.
Because Alcatraz has been...
50th anniversary, right.
Longer
now, it's
than
way,
50 years.
Way yeah. longer. Uh-huh. The occupation of Alcatraz, exactly. At the Arts Commission, we have an exhibition called The Continuous Thread,
which
is,
includes not only the exhibition, right, but many events.
Yes. Sorry. It's been a little confusing. But yeah, there's the Continuous Thread of the exhibition. There was a series of projections that took place on the Asian Art Museum and the SF Library that was up for just a week, so that's already down. There's today, or on Monday, there was the Indigenous Peoples Day Music and Arts Festival in Yerba Buena Center for the Arts, like in the garden area. There's an exhibition at SFO. There's going to be an exhibition at the library. The library's doing a million, like, readings also. There's also, on November 22nd, a free concert in the Herbst Theater by Buffy St. Marie, who's a really famous Native performer, musician.
Excellent. We'll put a link
actually,
in the
if you go to yeah, if you go to the SFAC's website, the SFAC is listing all of our events, but also all of the events that are taking place throughout the city. Yeah. So if anyone's doing anything around this topic, we can basically post it on our website.
Yep. Link in the underworld. Go to all that stuff.
Go to all that stuff.
What do you got there?
There's also going to be a fashion show in the Rotunda of City Hall, which I don't remember the date of, but it's coming up.
Okay,
it's great.
It's
going to be exciting. And then this is the 44th Annual American Indian Film Festival.
Ooh.
Is taking place at Brava Theater and the Presidio Theater. And then I also wanted to give a quick shout out to the Arab Film Festival is also taking place. Kate's huffing some markers.
It's smell pins.
Cherry,
this one's cherry.
Cherry flavored, cherry scented. And the Arab Film Festival takes place at both the Roxy Theater in San Francisco and the Parkway Theater in Oakland through
the new
October,
Parkway.
The new Parkway in Oakland through October 20th. Lots of good films. I'll be there. Check it out.
Also this month.
Do you hate emails? I talked to someone earlier this week that said they basically don't do email. I was really surprised.
That's
by that.
Amazing. How do they do that?
They do all of their communication through, like, Facebook and other means.
Ew, that would even more stress. Email's way less stressful to me than getting a message on like some other fucking thing.
Well, because
at least I can keep track of it, you know? Like, I can search it.
Yeah, I guess they said they did email for work only. I don't know, it was weird. I was like, wow, you don't do any email. That's crazy.
Also this month, Maysoon, everybody go check out SomaPilipinas.org because it's also Filipina Heritage Month. And they have tons of events listed, including artist workshops, performance type stuff at Bindlestiff Studios. You can look through their whole calendar. I'll put a link in the underworld. Great stuff going on. And Litquake is going on.
Oh, I was going to say that.
I already said it. Litquake.org. There's probably an event like right outside your house that you didn't even know was happening. Litquake is like tons of different like literary events happening all over the damn
place. all over the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Right. And then Lit Crawl specifically is a pub crawl for literature.
Where you go to readings and poetry things.
But it's specifically in the Mission and it takes place over the course of one evening.
When?
I believe it's Saturday. What else is happening?
Have we jumped the shark again last episode where we talked about restrooms the whole time? There was an episode called Jumping the Shark.
Wait, I think, that was fun, though. I like that one.
Yeah, okay. Maysoon, as you know, I'm teaching at San Jose State University this semester, and the students keep calling me professor.
Well, that's because they have,
respect.
They respect you and their other professors, probably. And
but then I just say, just call me Kate. It's fine.
Okay. But do they care? Is it hurting them to call you professor? Is it hurting you?
It hurts me.
Aww.
I'm not a professor.
No, you're not.
No, but I don't know. Isn't professor, don't you have to have a PhD?
Oh, like a specific
like my actual job title is like lecturer.
Oh, you could be like, I'm a lecturer. Please don't call me professor.
Please call me Hannibal Lecturer. I think that, okay, so we were talking earlier about all these, like the Arab Film Festival.
And the American Indian Film Festival.
Yes, and I was like, that's great. I think that film, like movies, okay, are like the most powerful medium for social change.
I like that thought, and I wanted you to go in on that a little bit more.
Well, because like if you're doing a painting about something, first off, no one's gonna see it.
Let's just get right down to business there.
Right? Maybe even less than like films, like just videos. Like just videos, like just a video, like popping a video online. I'm just thinking of what's the farthest reach in a medium that people can digest and understand.
Definitely an Instagram video.
Maysoon, remember that doc? Okay, maybe I'm going out on a limb.
That's
here.
Okay, I like it.
Remember that doc? Oh, God. This is so basic.
Someone needs to go out on a limb.
Look, I'm a basic person. Do you remember that documentary, Food Inc.?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's why I'm vegetarian.
Oh, wow.
I became vegetarian walking out of the movie theater from that documentary.
Has that okay, that's interesting to me because I feel like when I see documentaries or read books that are specialized like that, that I'm immediately sort of cynical about, not cynical, but just sort of like, is that accurate? I don't know. I just immediately
question. How can you question the accuracy of seeing the fucking chicken corpses getting bulldozed off into a fucking ditch?
Are you sure they didn't just die there?
Maysoon, I don't think we need much more proof that factory farming is bad.
No, I know. Wait, can we get back to the other topic, though?
What's the other topic?
Anyhow, it's fine.
That's it. That's just my own personal experience with it. I think there have been many documentaries. Like, what about The Thin Blue Line?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, the change, or, like, the 13th, the Ava DuVernay documentary.
Yeah, I love that
one. I think
one.
That really shifted the national conversation. Okay, let's share some tips. I recently learned that a lot of drag performers are adhering the rhinestones to their outfits with this glue. E6000, which I was already using this to put things on fabric.
Oh, you were already doing it.
Uh-huh. But now I've been affirmed that this is the way to do it. However, I did an experiment just with a few of my gems that I've been trying to put on fabric.
Yeah.
And I feel like they do easily peel off.
Wait, the gems or the gems?
The gems. The gems. I'm from Ohio. I have a Northwest Ohio accent. I'm putting a link in the underworld. It's a real accent. Aww. And one of the things is mixing noun sounds.
Oh, Interesting.
Like E's and I's.
Yeah.
But I got in trouble for it in music class in third grade, and I swear to God.
Oh, that but didn't everyone fascist, else have the same accent?
It was the fascist bullshit. The hell? I don't know where that teacher was from.
That teacher needs to just
sit on one.
Okay, so what kind of gems are you using here?
Plastic, kind of like rhinestones.
Oh, yeah, like big rhinestones.
Yeah.
Big, gaudy rhinestones.
So I was just testing out with this E6000.
Right.
Just which gluing them on.
Which sticks the best?
And they stick on. They're still stuck on.
And does it matter but what kind of material you're using? Look Have at you that. Tested different material? Oh, shit.
It comes right off if she you try to pry it right off. Yeah. Right.
Well, that's
not
good.
The most.
Does it leave a lot of residue? Like, what if you want to reorganize your? Oh yeah, it does. Fuck.
Yeah,
it's the glue just stays right on the fabric.
Yeah, but you want that. But I don't know. I think maybe if I kind of scuffed up the backs of these a little bit, then maybe it would have a little more.
Yeah, get a little sandpaper action on there.
Yeah, but then is it going to mess up the clarity?
Oh,
you know, of the gem.
Yeah. I think that's
the gem.
The gem.
The gem. Okay, so any other material? Let's go into technique. We're going into technique time. Technical time. Okay.
Are you a lighting master?
Yep.
When you're interviewing your subject,
you
got to
use 3-point lighting.
Well, tell me about the 3-point lighting technique.
I love that we're talking about this. Okay, 3-point lighting. You've got 3 lights. Okay.
I understand that.
You're going to need 3 lights. So you need get your light kit together. Okay. You're going to need some diffusion. So that could be as simple as like some like paper, like white paper can diffuse light, but still let a lot of it through with some thin paper. Okay. So basically you have your person seated.
Okay.
You've got 2 lights off to the left and right in front of them. But off to the side, so not directly in front of them. One is the key light.
Okay.
That is kind of a focused spotlight, not diffused, right?
And where do you focus it? Just directly on
their face. On their face, but off to one side. So that's going to be the main light source.
Okay.
Then you have a fill light that's diffused, because if you just have this one light off to the side, part of their face, like especially off the side of their nose, will be in shadow. So the fill light fills in the shadow.
I see.
Then you have, I forget what the last light is called, but you have a light kind of behind them. And off to the side.
Behind them.
Yep. To kind of create kind of a line of light around their head that separates them from the background. So you've kind of like lit them a little bit from the side behind, but not as far to the side as the 2 front lights.
Is it like from the bottom
up? Could be from below.
Or is it just sort of like just out of sight of the camera?
You definitely want it to be out of sight of the camera. Right.
But it could be like, you know, a few feet off the ground potentially. Well, no. A foot off the ground?
Yeah, I mean, mess around with it, but that's the 3-point lighting basic setup.
Okay, now that sounds good.
And that's used like in testimonials, say, if you're making a documentary.
Okay.
You would probably use that kind of light setup. God, a bad light setup. When you have to look at somebody's face for a long time, like, you know, big mistakes you don't want to do. Directly overhead lighting where they're casting those
the
intense
shadows,
like a skeleton, like a
you
skull.
Look like you're fucking
you look like a skull.
Tired as hell.
Or that makes or from below you get the weird like horns from glasses shadow on your forehead. Stuff like that. Shout out to Samara Halperin who taught me about lighting.
Look at that.
Yeah.
So if you're like on the cheap, you do not have money for fancy fucking lighting, photo studio lighting equipment. Can you just use those like clip lights?
Sure. The best stuff to use is the stuff you have.
Because you know how to use it.
And you have access to it and, you know, you don't have to spend $1 million to just shoot some little thing.
Interesting.
You know, maybe another option is if you don't have lights, you could, maybe you have a friend who has an outdoor space that's not super loud. And you go out on a cloudy day where the light's pretty
diffused.
And then that could be an option. Might not be. Video doesn't always look like sunlight's not always great on video.
Yeah.
But if it's a nice diffused light, it could work out.
When do you use gels?
When you want to kind of create a mood.
A mood.
Yeah, because they're colored, right? So gels are like colored plastic you put in front of a light.
They're colored plastic films.
And then the light has a color then.
Mm-hmm.
You can do, I mean, that's the thing. Lighting is incredibly transformative.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you pop a green light on somebody, shit gets nuts. You know? You can take some, you know, you can be in a studio setting, you pop up. God bless Samir Halperin, who told me all about this when I was in grad school. You know, pop some orange and red tinted light on someone, all of a sudden it's sunrise, you know?
Oh.
You're under the Tuscan sun.
Oh.
That kind of thing. You can do so much with lighting. On, you know, and if you just have like a shitty cheap setup, you know.
You can do it.
You can like grab some whatever. Even colored paper will cast light if you don't have money to go get gels or, you know, get your shitty clip light that you just have sitting around. Get your shitty camera that actually is, if you have like a relatively recent generation of iPhone, you have 1080p quality video. And there's also a $15 app that we have the students get at San Jose State so they can just use their phone as a camcorder.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Called Filmic Pro, and it gives you like a, you know, you're using your camera on your phone that's already actually a really good camera, but gives you more you know, control over like focus, white balance, and exposure.
What does the purple gel do?
Purple gel?
Does it have a particular meaning? Like if you, the red and orange, it gives you like a sunset look or a, you know, like.
What is purple? Well, I don't know. Do, like what do, is purple do the colors, mean to you?
No, I don't know. I don't have a wrong opinion about purple. It's kind
form
of.
Form an opinion
kind
about
of
purple.
Blue.
Oh my Lord.
Nighttime?
Maybe.
Yeah. Dusk?
I don't know. Yeah,
what would
could
you do
be sad.
What would you do with a green filter?
Aliens. Yeah. Or nice. Like sickness.
Oh, yeah.
You're escaping the asylum.
Yellow? Sorry, we don't have to go through every
happy.
Color, but the... Oh,
right. Well, I mean, this is just like basic, like, what are color meanings for you, you know?
What do color
I think
mean?
It differs from culture to culture, right?
Sure. I like it. Maybe I'll do a little lighting.
Why are you asking about lighting?
Example.
You're working on a project?
I just, it's always been one of those things. I love taking photos, and lighting is always, I always think about it.
Good. You should.
And I hate using flashes.
Yeah.
Hate. 0% do I use a flash. I'd rather photograph in the complete pitch black and get what I can get.
Well, it's nice. I think a lot of photographers have a flash that it's not mounted to the camera. So you can get it from an angle other than frontal.
Yeah.
And I think that can make a difference.
That can make a huge difference.
Or you use a lot of diffusion on the flash. Like you've seen those backwards umbrellas that they put in front of the lights.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe I should start carrying a little pocket flashlight with me.
Okay.
For some extra lighting.
You're a wild bitch.
That'd be kind of fun, right? Well, thanks for the lighting tips.
You bet.
Love it.
And then once
I
you
wish
get...
I'd asked you about this a long time ago when I shot a photo for Jimbo's album cover. I did not know what I was doing, but it worked out anyhow.
Oh, yeah. Now you can glue on all your gemstones onto
and then,
your outfit and then light them real
then
nice.
Then you can light them real nice, exactly.
With your E6000, who does not send us money and is highly toxic. Do you think we have enough for a show now?
We're going to have to.
Okay.
Because I'm all out. I didn't have anything to start.
Okay, people. We're going to have interviews again.
We have an interview coming up.
Yeah.
Real soon.
When we don't have an interview for a while, I start to feel like it's like a sandwich that's only condiments.
Oh, really?
You think not?
Well, I just think it depends on how
it's a lot of Kate and May soon being fools. But maybe people love that.
I thought our last episode was actually good.
The bathroom one?
Yeah. Didn't feel challenging to do.
Oh, like we had good flow, you mean?
Yeah, I feel like that makes the show interesting. Or good, at least. I will never forget, however, the one time a listener told us they liked it best when we interviewed people.
Who said that?
I'm not naming names.
All right, Maysoon. Well, thank you for your service. Maysoon.
Yes, Kate.
I'll be seeing you from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.